Happy New Year's once again. New Year's are, you can either start something new for the new year, or you could just continue to go on with the same old thing as last year. If last year was rocking really good, I'd say continue on with that. But as far as your faith, I think it's always cool to keep moving, because the things get bigger and better and better and better. When you get to be Pastor Tom's young age of 43, you'll be like, man, I can't wait to see much more of this. And then you got Dan, he's 45, and he's like, man, I can't get, you know where I'm going with this, right? Okay, so only thing I could do to help this out is to name this message, "That's Not Something I Would Do Before I Was a Christian." Have you ever said something like that to yourself? Anybody? Nobody said that? That's not something I would have done before I was a Christian. There's a lot of things, and I mean, I was a punk teenager before I became a Christian, so I didn't live like a long into just a developed adult life. I changed quite a bit when I became a Christian. There's a lot of things when I was like kind of learning the ways, I didn't think it was all that cool and didn't understand why we should be doing it, right? So one of the things that I want to bring up that I didn't do before I was a Christian was service and joining in things. Now, I'm not saying people out there do not do service, because that is wrong. There's people out there that join in all kinds of like clubs and stuff like that. My dad was a part of a model airplane club his whole life, and he devoted himself to making sure that airplane field was good so they could go out there and fly planes. That's service. So a lot of people have that embedded in their life because God embeds stuff like that in your life when you're created. Does anybody agree with that with me? So one of the things that I think is cool about service and being a part of things that are at church is the fact that, you know, out of all the things, like the signs and wonders and the cool things that Jesus did when he was here, there was a lot of service going on out there. Talk about how he was out with the poor and how he was out with all the other people, feeding people and tending to their needs, you know. I don't have a big long list to spin at you so you'd be impressed with it, but there was a lot of things that he did for service. And I think that's cool because, you know, we want to do this Christ-like lifestyle, and I don't know, do we think about service as being like a Christ-like thing? Do you think about like when you're going to a place and preparing a meal and you're with the body of Christ, do you think about how that was, you're kind of following in the footsteps of what Jesus was doing? You're kind of embodying the moment. Do you believe that? Does anybody believe that? So, one of the things that stands out to me the most, and, you know, we're a part of a mega church here. So this is just, we have thousands of people in our congregation. We have all kinds of volunteers. Yeah, whatever. I'm not always one that's really good at numbers. You know how they say the 80% of the people do the things 20% of the time? I know. No, so those things, they're lost on me. So one of the things that I see is in Luke and in Matthew. So there's this in two different Gospels. Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogue, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." At the time, this is what God or Jesus was doing to spread the gospel. Nowadays, what we're doing to spread the gospel to the people who are needing it is doing trunk or treats. And that's amazing. And we need people to help. Does that make sense? It's the same thing. You have to look at it in the same way. And when you do stuff like that and people ask you about that.
That's not something I would do before I became a Christian.
That's one. That's one. Count them, okay? And that's, you start thinking like that, right? So, during these times of being part of this, you're out there, you're being part of the body of Christ, you're in action, and you're in the presence of God. Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to sit down and realize it or not, most of the time, during things like that, people are aggravated and annoyed and rushed and all these different things, and you just can't sit back and smile and see the presence of God. Isn't that truly an enemy move right there? To make you just think it's nothing when you're doing the Lord's work, even if it's a trunk or treat? Lame. That's lame. Let's don't fall into that trap this year. Promise me? Okay. Promise. Service is weird. Helping at church is weird. It's weird. It's a.
That's not something I would do before I became a Christian.
That's not. It's not. I mean, it's just being a part of those weird things. If I got mad at a situation like that, I would say that organization was so stupid, and I would leave. I would not try to sort it out with God and pray about it and see what God was doing in me to help me. There's so much there to unpack. But what I'm saying is let's be part of the action. Let's be the hands, right? Not just two, all of them. High fives. Okay. Here's another thing. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen before them, for they will have no reward from their Father whom is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
That's not something I would do before I became a Christian.
I would tell everybody the cool stuff I would do. If I went down to a homeless shelter and I wasn't a Christian, I'd be like, you know what I was doing this weekend, dude? I was down at the homeless shelter. Did you see the pictures on Facebook with me dipping the stuff? I didn't have anything on me either, because I don't drip all over me like those guys do. Let's just do our thing, you know what I mean? Because the more that we get good at doing the things that we didn't do before I was a Christian, the more we don't have to worry about stuff like that. We're just joining in on the community. Do you believe in joining in on the community? It's our church's ministry, you know what I mean? I know that we're not part of a church that does ministries that we don't do. Does that make sense? I would like to do ministries that are super cool. I would like to do this, that, or the other. Well, your church does trunk or treats. It does. Okay? And let's join in on it. Let's join in on God's vision. Okay? Let's grow. When people see the body of Christ in action and happy and it's beautiful, they do want to be a part of what God's doing because they see God. Okay? They do. I swear to you. God is powerful as powerful can be. I'm telling you. It's really cool. Let's see here. Where's my number three? Okay. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up to her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what she said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that he had made. she had came to him and asked, "Lord, can't you take care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? Tell her to help me. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha." The Lord answered, "Are you worried about the upset, about how many things, about the few things are needed, or indeed only one? Mary has chosen what is better, and it is not to be taken away from her."
That's not something I would do before I became a Christian.
It took a long time for me to get that. I'm getting older. I'm not as hard as a worker as I used to be, just because I'm old, because I've been working a desk job. But I used to pride myself on how hard I could get out there and bust my butt, okay? I used to pride myself on how many hours I could put in. So whenever I would think of being there and in the moment and working really hard and busting my butt, and there's somebody just sitting there not doing anything, just sitting there getting to meet Jesus, and I'm over here getting the napkins and doing all this crap, I never understood that. But then I started thinking about how, isn't it weird how whenever you're at one of these things and it's the presence of God, remember when Mike was just saying that? Whenever the presence of God is there and you know, the body of Christ is working, and you get to be a part of that, and you get aggravated instead of just being and seeing what God's doing. That's what he's talking about. Just don't worry about it so much. Don't get aggravated about all the stuff that happens, okay? So one of the big things I worried about when I was going to preach this is that I was worried that people would think that I'm talking about them. And I'm not. Does that make sense? Have you ever thought, "Oh, this message is just talking to me because I haven't been serving enough or haven't been doing enough or haven't been doing, and he's up here because of this and we need this and this and that and this and that." No, it's not that. I'm inviting you to become part of the cool and fun things that we do. Now, I have a list of things here that I do around the church, okay? But, you know, I don't do just church things, I do other things. So I want you to just hear this list. Are you ready? "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you are given to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you that you have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret will be rewarded."
That's not something I would do before I became a Christian.
How many is that? That's only five? Do you see where I'm getting at right here? Like, who cares what I do here? Who cares what I do out there? Nothing. Leaving room in your life to be able to help out with the church, being able to help out with friends, being able to help out with family, if when you leave room for that, it's only a small bit of time, and then you'll have that room back open. You know, you're not committing yourself to a lifelong thing. You know, it's just a small portion to be able to make the kingdom of heaven bigger, to be able to go out and do the ministry that Jesus was doing. A lot of service was done in Acts. There was a kind service to the lame. The service of Dorcas, she was a disciple named Tabitha, did acts of charity, was serving widows and making tunics and garments.
That's not something I would do before I became a Christian.
Paul, he did services, ministry to the world. How many was that? Was that six? Ministering to the word, the apostles dedicated themselves to teaching and preaching the gospel. That's in Acts. Serving tables. That says benevolence. Does anybody know what benevolence means? That's not a word I would use before I was a Christian. So that's in Acts 6. Prayer, that's a service. Fellowship and worship, meeting daily in the temple, breaking breads in homes together in gladness. I would break bread in people's homes. If they were serving like food or pizza, I would come over for that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what am I trying to get at? Maybe. Yes. Because I want to see God move. I think your faith is built stronger when you see God moving. It's harder to move away from something when you see the growth of God. Okay? Whenever you see what he's done, when you see the church, when you recognize what the church is. So why do we do it? Because Jesus did. Because his disciples did. Because that's what the church was built on. Because that's what we're built for. That's what we were built for. That's what God programmed us to do so that we didn't harden our heart. In the storm and learning to be the hands. So this year, let's do this. That's what I do. And when we say, we got this going on, we do.
That's what I do.
Okay? So Jesus, where's it at? Can we have the team come up? It's a very short message, guys. I just wanted to get my point across. That's why I brought the button. We're gonna close with the song. I'm going to pray a little bit, and we're going to close with the song. So, Jesus, I got my, my things are out of order. Have you ever had that happen before when you were giving a sermon and you got the things out of order, guys? Okay. So, yeah. Let me paraphrase it. I wanted to read it to you. I wanted to read God's word, okay? So, Jesus found out John was beheaded. Paraphrasing this so bad. This is terrible. I hate doing this. Found out John was beheaded, you know. And during that time, he went out, and that's the part where they went to go feed the 5,000, okay? This is fresh off of Jesus finding out about John. And the disciples were serving. They came to him, and they made bread. Still during this time, you know. And they were still serving. Nobody complained about it, but they still got their rest. They still went out to get their rest afterwards, you know. They were serving, but still tended to themselves. When they were out tending to themselves, huge storm came. The disciples were freaking out, looked out, seeing Jesus. These are major moments in the Bible. When, you know, Peter seeing Jesus, walks on water. Their faith was just strengthened so much by all this, right? And when I see this, I think a lot of things. You know, I think about how during their service, Jesus helped them provide. He helped them provide the food, which saved a lot of their energy. Sometimes we worry about our energy. He helped them provide rest. But if you take the whole thing and you just simplify it, the story, and you see bad thing happen. We served. They went to rest. The storms came. And we were strengthened. You know, sometimes we just want to blow off all the things that we maybe have going on at the church or with helping people or serving God because of the things that are going on, you know. But sometimes you just got to look to the end when you see these major God moments of, you know, that's when the storm came, you know? That's when they walked on water. When all that was happening. Amen?